Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake joined by Matt. And Matt, did you watch the royal wedding last night? Last morning?
No, I don't even like watching weddings of people I know.
I didn't watch it either, but it's definitely worth... I would have watched it had I known David Beckham would be in attendance, because goodness gracious, that guy is just incredible. Did you see his, like, suit he had on?
I didn't.
It was like a gray... I don't even know how to describe it, but Google, like, David Beckham royal wedding outfit. If I were Prince Harry, I would have been very upset that he wore that and looked like that at my wedding. You know, like, you know, guys are supposed to be the best-looking guy at their wedding, whatever.
Well, yeah, if that's the case, you can't invite people who are better-looking than you.
Yeah, you can't
invite... Like, if you're going for that, then that's not going to work.
I don't know why I invited David Beckham at all. I would have only invite... I'm only inviting ugly people to my wedding.
Have they knighted David Beckham yet? When's that going to happen?
I'm not sure if they... I don't think they have, because he's not Sir David Beckham. I feel like I'd hear that more.
Right.
But I did Sir Alexander Ferguson, so they... I feel like if anyone deserves to be a knight, it's David Beckham, because he's the best thing to come out of England since, like, ever.
I mean, the Beatles came out of England.
Okay, since the Beatles. David Beckham's pretty great.
Yeah. He changed Major League Soccer, so that's good.
He's literally in, like, every field he just excels at. He's incredible. Fashion, soccer. His wife does music really well.
I mean, he still doesn't have a stadium. Like, I think they finally announced a location for it, but that's taken a really long time.
Miami's so long to get a team in MLS.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. Because it probably would have been a lot cheaper if they would have been able to do it sooner.
I'm really upset that MLS... Okay, so David Beckham has bought or is trying to buy a MLS soccer team in Miami, and... He's been working for years on it, like getting a stadium and everything like that. But one, what he wanted to name the team was Miami Vice, and the league shot it down, which I think is the dumbest thing possible.
Mm-hmm.
Think of how, like, just in jersey sales alone, on, like, not even regarding everything else, think of how much money they would make on Miami Vice jerseys.
It would be good.
Like, think how popular the Miami Heat, Miami Vice jerseys were this year. Think if they had a whole soccer team of that instead of just, like, one jersey.
That'd be dope. It kind of reminds me of – so we went to a school called Cottonwood, and we were the Colts. And that's a good name, you know. It's got the alliterating Cs. It only has the O vowel sound. So it's a great name. I'm happy with it. But when the school opened, the students voted that the mascot would be the trees. So the school would have been the Cottonwood Trees. But the teachers thought it was dumb, so they wouldn't let him do it. And I think it would have been amazing.
Yeah, it would have been, you know, could have been like a brown and like an earthy green. Could have done a lot of like
earth. Like that midnight green the Eagles wear. It would have been dope.
Would have been great. And then stupid teachers got to ruin everything.
Yeah, come on, teachers.
Well, on that note, we're going to stick with soccer. We're going to talk NBA playoffs in a little bit. Golden State plays in game 3 tonight against Houston. But we're going to talk about some soccer for a little bit, both American and internationally. We're going to start with Real Salt Lake last night lost 4-1 to Philadelphia. And Real Salt Lake has this pattern of winning like 1-0 or 2-1 at home and then just getting blasted on the road. Like, they've, how many road games have they given up 4 goals in this season?
That is a question you should have asked me before so I could have looked it up, because I don't know. But
I feel like because this game, I know they lost to NYFC 4-1. They just get killed every time they go on the road. I saw a stat. They haven't won a road game in, I think, 12 matches, 10 or 12 matches.
Something like that, yeah. It's been pretty bad, and the defense has just been very leaky, which is so frustrating because they've demonstrated that they can play good defense. And, like, I know they're injured, but they've shown that they can play good defense, or at least decent defense, you know, even with, you know, Nick Bessler in, who just came from the USL, the minor leagues, basically.
Yeah, so. Real leagues, but Justin Glad is, what, 21 years old?
Yeah, I think so.
So he's from Real Salt Lake's academy. Soccer teams have, it's like minor leagues, but it starts a lot earlier when they're in, like, high school. And Real Salt Lake has this academy in Arizona where they like train players to hopefully develop into professional players on the main team. And Justin Glad came from that. He's only 21. I feel like he's become like a leader of the back line for Real Salt Lake, which is great. And he's stepped up incredibly, I feel like, but he's still only 21 years old.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's great. It's just, you know, we haven't really had help, you know, and the outside backs, I think, are really the problem right now. A lot of the goals seem to, you know, be coming from the outside, and then either Justin Glad or whoever's playing that other center back spot has to go out and try to cover because the outside back has gotten beat. And then that just opens up the middle for a pass. And then Raimondo is just left hanging. So, and it's hard because, I mean, you know, they've had some injuries. You know, Tony Beltran was out the whole year, but we knew that at the beginning. And so that's why we brought in Adam Henley, and, you know, he just hasn't been good enough. Danilo Acosta, you know, hasn't really played, but apparently in practice, he just hasn't demonstrated that he's been good enough because we've been playing Pablo Ruiz, who's been great, or at least, you know, better than everybody else, but he's a midfielder. He's probably actually more of an attacking minded player, kind of like Brooks Lennon, who's been our best option at right back, which is fine. But that's not the position they play, so they're both getting caught really far up the field, and then they both want to attack, so they don't run back on defense, or they're too far up to get back on defense, and then Kyle Beckerman and the center backs are left hanging out to dry.
Yeah, so Brooks Lennon, he's another academy player. Both him and Justin Glad have signed with the U.S. Youth National Team, and he's more of a wing player, or like an attacking player, but he's playing right back, which is a defensive position. And, I mean, for kind of getting thrown into a new position, I still think he's doing pretty well. But, Matt, how much do you think of him playing right back is, A, he's just a really talented player and Real wants to get him on the field, or B, we just don't have any depth at right back, or C, we have too much depth up front with Rusnak and Joao Plata and all our forwards where Lennon just simply isn't good enough to play up there, but Pecky still wants to play him.
Well, I mean, the other, I would say he's probably our second string in both of the wing spots. So, like, yesterday, for example, Joao Plata didn't play, and so Lennon started at the left wing, even though he's typically at right wing, and they started Adam Henley at right back. But, you know, Henley just wasn't getting it done. And so to get something, you know, resembling solid defense, they moved Brooks Lennon out of the left wing to go play right back. And then they substituted Adam Henley out for Bofo Saucedo at halftime. And then Bofo, you know, can't play the back position. So they had him playing in the wings. And so, I mean, to be clear, I like Brooks Lennon a lot. I think he's really good, and for him to play out of position, like you were saying, it's really great, and we don't have a better option. It's just, I think, you know, we need somebody else to be stepping up. And, you know, like, Tony Beltran is the guy who should be starting there. He's hurt. I think Sean Barry would be starting there, but he's also hurt. But I just think, you know, they need Adam Henley to play better. That's what they brought him in for.
Yeah, he came in. Adam Henley, he came in for – he's Welsh. He was playing in – he's playing in England. I forgot what team he was playing for.
I'm pretty sure it was Burnley.
Oh, Burnley. Yeah, so that's, it's not Liverpool or anything, but still like a pretty good squad, you know, playing top competition in England. He came over from Burnley, and just, I mean, because he was playing in the Premier League, I had really high expectations for him, and he hasn't shown that yet, but there's still a long way in the season. So hopefully he can develop into kind of that starting defender so that Brooks Lennon has a little more flexibility to play forward more.
Yeah, because Tony Beltran's going to retire, obviously. And if he could do it, I'd love it. And
Beltran's going to retire?
Huh? I mean, eventually, he's 30-something.
You scared me. I thought he was just, like, quitting soccer. Oh, my gosh.
No. I just mean in the foreseeable future. But, like, Henley's 23 right now, and it was Blackburn. It wasn't Burnley, but, like, he's had caps for the Welsh senior national team, and they're ranked like 10th in the world, or they've been that high anyway. I don't know what they're at right now.
World Cup in 2016, I'm trying to tell. Yeah, 26. So just 2 years ago, they were in the semifinals of all of Europe.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm sure these Caps have come, you know, in friendlies and not in the Euros, but I mean, he's good enough to get a look from one of the best national teams in the world. So something needs to change there, whether it's bringing in, you know, a different player or him playing better, because Brooks, I like Brooks a lot. He's just not a right back.
One thing I will say is it's Real Salt Lake for the last couple of years and continuing, they're kind of in a transition phase because the core of Javier Morales, Kyle Beckerman, Nick Raimondo, to an extent, Nat Borchers, they're moved on. They're getting older. And while Beckerman and Raimondo are still playing at a really high level, there's a really big youth movement with Justin Glad and Brooks Lennon and so many, like Adam Henley's only 23, so many academy players where they, like 2009 in that era of Real Salt Lake, were one of the best teams in the league. And we're kind of rebuilding on the fly, like transitioning out of that. So I think in 5 years or so, if we can like maintain this core, we're going to be really dominant. So I think the success we're having right now, seventh place as of Sunday, so not in the playoff picture, but they were in sixth. They're a tied. So like there's definitely a realistic shot to make the playoffs. While that's good, I think we got to remember that this is kind of a long-term project, I feel like, that Real Salt Lake's under.
Yeah, it's going to be tricky because they're, like you said, they are going to need to replace Kyle Beckerman and Nick Raimondo, and that's going to be hard. That's going to be in the next 2 or 3 years, unfortunately. But, you know, in that time, you know, Justin Glad's going to be 23, and if he's this good now, he's going to be great then. You know, Salvarino's going to be older. Rusnak is going to be older. Plata should be in, like, the prime of his career, so... So I would certainly hope so.
Yeah, let's talk. Unless there's anything more you have to say about Real Salt Lake, I kind of wanted to go talk briefly about big picture MLS, kind of who's leading. They also want to talk about some rivalry games that we've had recently.
Yeah, I mean, just while we're local, the Royals won again yesterday. The Monarchs won again too, but you know the Royals there. Really close to a playoff position, and it's much harder to make the playoffs in their league. It's only the top four, whereas in the MLS, it's if you're in the top half. So that's like the top 12 teams, the top six in each conference. So, I mean, and so they're playing great. So if you're frustrated about Real, you really should be looking into the Royals. And I think we want to talk a lot more about them because, you know, A-Rod's come back from her knee injury and she's been playing really well. You know, and it's a really, really good team to be excited about. So we'll need to spend more time on them in the summer as we're done with the NBA.
Yeah, especially I'm honestly dreading when the NBA's done what we're going to talk about because you can only talk about baseball so much. We do want to mention that the Los Angeles Dodgers are in last place in the National League West. So let's just throw that out there really quick. And the World Cup's going to be going on, which is going to be really great. But we are going to be scrambling for stuff to talk about. So if any of you have any ideas, email us at mjdoubletake@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter or Instagram or anything. Get some segment ideas we could do. That would be very helpful. But the NBA still is going on right now. And we still got a lot of soccer to talk about. Matt, one thing we were talking about before that I find interesting is the – So there's a new team in Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Football Club. That's one that's owned by Will Ferrell partly. And they have a rivalry, obviously, with the Los Angeles Galaxy, the like team that's already been in L.A. And when they play, the game was nicknamed El Tráfico, which was named after when Real Madrid and Barcelona play. They call it El Clásico, like the classic. So kind of for fun, they called this game El Tráfico, which I thought was really funny. And then just this last week or 2 weeks ago, Orlando City played Atlanta, who's Atlanta's leading the Eastern Conference right now. And they called that game the Florida-Georgia line, which also funny. So it got me thinking, Real Salt Lake and Colorado's rivalry is called the Rocky Mountain Cup or Rocky Mountain Clash. Are there any other good rivalry names you can think of in MLS?
Seattle and Portland, they've got one, don't they?
Oh, yeah, it's called the Cascadia Cup, I think.
Yeah, Cascadia Cup. Yeah, I mean, El Tráfico's got to be the best, right?
I think El Tráfico's pretty funny. I think we're going to put up a Twitter poll, so check out our Twitter page. You can vote on it. But I think El Tráfico's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not Rocky Mountain Cup.
No, that's a dumb one.
Like,
it's not really a rivalry because Real Salt Lake dominates it so much.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it's been like 11 out of the last 12 years or 11 out of 13 or something like that. But
yeah, so that's some. And then Atlanta, New York, NYCFC, those are the top two teams in the East. In the Western Conference, LAFC is doing really well. We've talked a lot actually on the show about expansion teams because this is their first season. They're in second place in the West right now. One thing I'm surprised about, Matt, really quick, and then we can move on, is Seattle is in near the bottom. Them and Colorado are the last two teams standings-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I thought people expected the Seattle Sounders to do a lot better this year, like be at least competitive.
Yeah, well, they've done this the last couple of years, and I actually believe – well, they played in the MLS Cup, the finals – 2 years ago, and I'm pretty confident they did it last year too. I just want to look that up real quick.
Toronto versus, I thought, Seattle, so two teams are really
going to win. Yeah, so they've been to the MLS Cup 2 years in a row. The thing with Seattle is they've also, those last 2 years, is they've had bad starts to the season, and then they've turned it on the second half of the season. So I expect them to do that at some point. And because, you know, right now they're only 5 points away, which would be two games, basically, behind the sixth place team. And they've actually got three games in hand on that sixth place team. So they should be able to start making up points. I mean, they've got to start doing it soon. They can't let this, you know, go on for much longer. But, you know, I expect them to get a little bit higher up. I think, you know, Colorado is going to stay near the bottom. LA Galaxy, I know they've got Ibrahimovic, but I just don't think the rest of the team is good enough to keep them as high as they are. So I think they're going to start to fall. Houston, you know, is probably not going to fall, but certainly get leapfrogged by Seattle, I would say.
You know, I never thought I'd cheer for the Galaxy, but just watching all these LAFC fans made me hope that the Galaxy would do really well, just to shove it in their face. Same with, like, the Red Bulls. I never wanted to cheer for the Red Bulls, but when NYCFC, the new New York club, came along, I thought, man, that's so annoying, all these fans that literally already have a team and just hopping on the new team's bandwagon.
Yeah. I mean, is there any team in sports that's more Hollywood than LAFC? Like, I know probably the Lakers, but, like, LAFC, they have black and gold jerseys. They're owned by Will Ferrell, Magic Johnson, and Mia Hamm. You know, they built their stadium right next to the Coliseum on USC's campus. Like you said, there's not really a need for this team. Their stadium's only 20 minutes away. It's literally like 2 miles away from where the Los Angeles Galaxy play. It's just
been like, I don't even think arguably the most successful team in American soccer.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
It's not even like the team sucks and like they're trying to jumpstart with a better team. It's literally, there's no reason to not be a Galaxy fan if you live in Los Angeles.
Right, yeah, because I mean, yeah, like Real Salt Lake fans I know don't really like the Galaxy, but like how do you not like Landon Donovan?
Yeah, it's awesome. So I think, yeah, it's definitely LAFC. They're definitely milking the Hollywood like star power aspect of it, because I don't feel like the Galaxy take advantage of that as much. So LAFC are really kind of going.
I mean, they have brought in David Beckham and Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Like they're trying to be Hollywood too.
Well, no, but I'm just saying. Like I feel like marketing wise, they don't try as hard as LAFC are with that. Like you said, like their jerseys are black and gold. I feel like they're putting a really big emphasis on like being LA's team, where the Galaxy, like, we're just trying to be the best team in the league.
Yeah. You know, I'm interested to see what, you know, happens in 2 or 3 years, you know, how many of these fans, you know, stay. I'm sure a lot of them do stay, but like you said, they did kind of come out of nowhere because there'd be no real reason if you were a soccer fan to not be cheering for the Galaxy. So yeah, I'm sure they'll still have plenty of fans in 2 or 3 years, but just what exactly the soccer scene in Los Angeles looks like, I think is going to be really interesting.
Yeah, it'll be really, really interesting. I'm excited to see that. I want to go to a game because I live in Phoenix, so it's only like 6 hours away. So I want to go to one of those games. It'd be fun. Matt, let's transition really quick to some international soccer, just because today was the last, unless there's anything else you want to say on the MLS really quick.
Nope, I'm good.
So today was the last day for La Liga, so the Spanish league. We just want to highlight really quick, Barcelona won that. They lost in Champions League, I think the quarterfinals, so they crashed out of that, but they finished with 93 points, and the second closest team was Atletico Madrid with 79. So Barcelona won the league by 14 points, and they only had one loss. They were not – they won today, but the second last game of the season, they lost to a team who's in, like, 18th, I think.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, they totally blew it.
Yeah, so they were so close to going undefeated, which I don't think has happened in and, like, they've tied, but undefeated in soccer, like, if you don't lose, they count that as undefeated. Arsenal did it in 2002 or 2004 with Thierry Henry. That team was called the Invincibles. I don't think that's happened in, like, England or Spain or Germany, like, a major league like that since then. I might be missing, like, maybe PSG or France has done it, but is there something I'm missing, or would that have been the first time in that long?
You know, I think we would have heard about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think – that's why I think – I feel like I would know that. So I think Barcelona was literally one game away, and they lost to a bottom five team. I think they lost 5-4, and Messi had like 3 goals or something like that.
Right.
So that was a bummer for them, but they still won the league. Last year, I was at the last game of the league season for Barcelona, and they were playing – I forgot who they were playing, but they needed to win and Real Madrid to lose. And if that would have happened, Barcelona would have won the league. Real Madrid won, so it didn't matter. But Barcelona won the game. Messi scored 2 goals. Not a big Messi guy, but it was pretty incredible. So it was fun to think about that.
Yeah.
The Barcelona won in the English league. Manchester City won. I think they wrapped it up in like February. It wasn't even close all year.
Yeah, no, they've been solid for a long time.
Yeah, and then in Italy, Gigi Buffon, the keeper for Juventus and the Italian national team, this was his last game. So if you watched like any World Cup or played any FIFA, you for sure played with him at some point. He's considered, like, I guess a legend. I don't want to like throw that around lightly, but he's been a pretty historical goalkeeper. So it's kind of sad that his career ended and watching him come off the pitch for Juventus.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's been crazy. He's just, like, Italy has had a lot of very, very good goalkeepers that have never played in a major game for Italy just because he's been around for so long. So, I mean, to be one of the best goalkeepers in the world for as long as he has is, you know, pretty incredible.
Yeah. So that's kind of some highlights on international soccer. We are also 25 days away from the World Cup. So we're going to – the episode before the World Cup starts, we're going to have a big breakdown. We're going to do like – I don't know, but it's going to be like all World Cup stuff basically. But we did want to highlight really quick because the rosters came out. The German team who are the favorite to win the World Cup, Mario Götze is not on the team. And you'll say, who is Mario Götze? Well, let me tell you. He is really good. He plays for Bayern Munich in Germany. He scored the winning goal against Argentina in the World Cup last year. So, if you remember, the World Cup finals, Germany versus Argentina, it was 0-0. And then it went into stoppage time, and they played an extra 30 minutes. So, it was about 4 minutes to go. So, instead of penalty kicks, Mario Götze scored this goal. Germany wins the World Cup, and Germany's roster is so stacked that he's not even on the team anymore.
Yeah, no, and I mean, it was the right decision. They've got so many good young guys.
It wasn't even a snub, which is the incredible part.
Yeah. Like, no, I mean, if you just look at what Germany was able to do, they brought, you know, really their B-minus team to the Confederations Cup, which is, you know, sort of a tournament of all the teams who win, you know, like the European Championship and the South American and the North American Championship. And, you know, they just, you know, just beat Mexico real, real bad. Beat Chile by one goal, but were able to hold Chile scoreless, which is really impressive. And so they just, we're going to talk about this more later, but I'm going to be shocked if they don't win the World Cup.
Yeah, that Chile game, just because I'm still upset about it. I felt like Chile dominated the game, not this, because Germany played really well as well, but Chile had control of the ball, control of possession, were attacking the entire game. They just had one really crappy play in the back, so Germany got an easy goal and they capitalized on it. But Chile's known as the best or one of the best attacking teams in the entire world, and the fact that they were attacking for the whole game, especially they went down pretty early, so we're going really hard. And Germany's junior varsity team basically defended and held them scoreless the entire time. While it bummed me out because we're big Chile fans. That was super impressive.
Yeah. No, and I mean, the goalie they had, Ter Stegen, he's probably going to be their starter in the World Cup because of Manuel Neuer is injured. And, like, that's not even – obviously, you'd rather have Manuel Neuer, but, I mean, they're going to be fine, which is the thing. And you have such a big injury, that's just crazy.
It's incredible. It feels like Alabama, you know, like it doesn't even matter who gets hurt because they just have so much depth.
Yeah. Speaking of depth, can I read you a couple of players who France is not bringing to the World Cup? So these are players who got cut?
Yes.
Okay. So Alexandre Lacazette, who plays, had a really good season for Arsenal. Dimitri Payet, who had that great season for West Ham last year. He's on some French team now. Anthony Martial, your boy for Man United.
I love Martial.
Yeah. And Karim Benzema, who is the central forward for Real Madrid. So Real Madrid, you know, they can afford anybody they want. And they've said, yeah, let's get Karim Benzema. We think that he's good enough to win the Champions League every year and get fed balls from Ronaldo.
And he's not on the team. Yeah, that's another thing I wanted to bring up, too, just because France, we don't talk about it, but France made that Euro final, losing to Portugal, but with Pogba and Antoine Griezmann, who I think we don't talk about enough. Like, I know Neymar's incredible, but I think he should at least be considered for third best player in the world. I think he's definitely top five. We don't talk about France enough. I think, like, Germany's clear-cut number one, and then I'd say Brazil and France are probably my second and third teams. I think are like best in the world. If Germany loses, it'll be to one of those two teams.
Yeah, Brazil is very, very good too. So
yeah, so check out World Cup episode coming up in a couple weeks. It's going to be super good. Germany stacked, and also going on back in the homeland is the NBA Conference Finals. Matt, do you want to do Western Conference or Eastern Conference first?
Let's do Western Conference.
Perfect. That's great, because I was reading this article. So Golden State plays Houston in Game 3 tonight, so by the time you're listening to it, that'll be over. But one thing that I was reading about that was interesting, Golden State dominated Game 1, and then Houston kind of took it to them Game 2. And there's this stat that this is from USA Today that I think you'll find interesting. So I'm just going to read it. It said the Warriors ranked 17th in isolation possessions during the regular season at 6.9 a game. So that means that every game, like, they'd have an isolation play almost seven times a game. That means, like, Kevin Durant or Steph Curry just kind of does their own thing, goes one-on-one, basically.
Right.
In this series, in the first two games, they're averaging – you want to guess how much they're averaging?
12.
25 and a half.
That is four times as many.
Four times as many.
And a little bit less than four times as many.
Guess how Houston is about as like the biggest ISO team in the league. Guess what their regular season mark was?
20.
15 and a half.
Okay.
So Houston, who led the league in ISO plays, averaged 15 and a half a game. The Warriors, the first two games, averaged 25 and a half, so 10 more than the league leader. And part of that is because Houston's switching so much on Golden State, they can't, their offense, they can't get into it as much. So it's just leading to ISO plays late in the shot clock, or Kevin Durant's just trying to bail them out or something. I mean, it worked the first game because in the first game they had 27 and they won. So while it's not necessarily like the worst thing in the world, it's definitely not Warriors basketball. They're playing, the Warriors are playing more like Houston than Houston is right now.
Yeah, it kind of sucks if your defense winning means one-on-one against Kevin Durant.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, and like, I don't know. Like, I just thought that was interesting because I was watching the games and Golden State just didn't look like Golden State. Even though the game won, they won. I just wondered if they had too much rest or what was going on. So it'll be weird to see in game three when they're playing back at home if they can get a little more in their game. Because I felt like it was Houston's game, even though, again, Golden State won. And so they split the first two games. I feel like it was Houston was dictating the game. So it'll be interesting to see if Golden State can do that coming back to game three.
Yeah, no, it is interesting because, you know, not really this year. I think everybody's known this year Houston's defense has been really good. But, you know, like last year, everybody thought that was the thing is if they're so bad on defense that they're not going to be able to win. So, you know, to see them with just these huge, really big guys being able, or not huge guys, but these big athletic wings and being able to do all their switching and for Clint Capella to be able to play as well as he has. That's why I thought that they were going to be able to make this series interesting. And obviously Golden State has the upper hand. They got the game on the road. So you kind of, they're certainly the favorites, but it'll be interesting to see if Houston can steal a game at Oracle.
Yeah. I feel like even though Golden State's the 2 seed and Houston's the 1, everybody feel, including Houston, feels like they're the underdog just because of how good we know Golden State really is, and their record wasn't necessarily indicative of that.
Right.
Yeah, here's another stat that kind of explains how the series has gone. So in the regular season, Golden State averaged 322.7 passes a game, which doesn't really mean anything to me. Like, I have no context for that, but that's a lot of passes. But in games one and games two, they had 283 and 272 less passes. So that's about 50 passes less a game. So that's about 12 less a quarter. So that's only about one pass less per minute, which doesn't seem like a whole lot, but you get one or two possessions a minute. So that's like every possession you have, you're having one less pass, like one less swing pass or anything like that. And obviously it's not exactly that, but that just kind of highlights that isolation stat we were talking about earlier, that Golden State's kind of been taken out of their game and their offense. So I honestly have no idea what's going to happen. I think Golden State's going to win, but I don't know like what kind of basketball we're going to be watching.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with those. I mean, I'm going to stick with Houston just because I said it at the beginning. And so we'll it'll be exciting. I think this is, you know, I want to say this is the more interesting series just because I think the biggest intrigue of the Eastern Conference Finals is whether Cleveland is just going to decide to show up. Like, it's kind of like Real Salt Lake. It's like, we've seen you defend. We know you can do it. We just don't understand why you won't.
Yeah, Cleveland is so – and so Cleveland game three just took it to Boston. I think that it was 86 to 116, so they won by 40, if my math is right. Or maybe 30. Yeah, now I think it's – I'm doing the math in my head. But everybody, the first two games, like, Cleveland was so bad. Like, LeBron just was killing Boston, and no one else could do anything. J.R. Smith played like garbage. I still don't think they're getting Kevin Love the ball enough. Rodney Hood hasn't been great. Really, no one's been great for Cleveland.
Rodney Hood hasn't even been decent.
Yeah, which I feel like Dennis Lindsay – and again, I love Rodney Hood. Like, he's one of my favorite players for the Jazz, so I don't want him to not do well. But I feel like Dennis Lindsay's just kind of having a told-you-so moment watching these playoffs right now.
Yeah, no, that was a great decision. Or, it, you know, like you said, players play better when they're under good coaches, you know, and we've seen people, you know, leave Boston, not do as good. Actually, a good example is Jay Crowder, really good at Boston, terrible at Cleveland, and then also good at the Jazz again, you know, so... So I wonder if that's contributing into it. I wonder if it's some sort of a mental thing with Rodney Hood because he's clearly a better basketball player than what he's shown.
Yeah, I'm really – what's frustrating for Cleveland is I don't feel like they're playing that differently than they did against Toronto, but it's just, like, not working. So like, especially like lineup wise, the stuff they were doing like really similar to what they did in the Toronto series. But instead of in the Toronto series, everybody was like, oh, this is the best team ever. They're going to win the finals. And like, they're getting blasted by Boston. And Ty Lue's got to be like, well, I'm not doing anything different. So I don't know what the problem is. Like, that's got to be super frustrating for him.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is. It's tricky. And like, I saw this thing that I think like the teams that win the first two games of a series win like 93% of the series. And I saw this like, oh, Cleveland would be in trouble if they didn't have LeBron James.
Yeah, that's the thing. I still, even though Boston won those first two, I still like am always like, well, Cleveland will just win four out of the next five, I guess, is how it's going to go.
Yeah.
Like, I think that I still think Cleveland wins. I still think it's going to be Golden State, Cleveland.
Yeah, that it's looking more and more like that. I mean, Cleveland, like, I was about to say they have to win today, but it's like, no, they don't, because they were down 3-1 to the Warriors, and then they won that.
Yeah, and the Warriors are definitely better than Boston is right now.
Yes, yeah, obviously they had that game missing Draymond, but the Warriors missing Draymond are still better than the Celtics right now. So
one thing I've heard, like, because Boston's been doing so well in the playoffs, is people saying, oh, well, if you look at their roster, they have, like, three top three picks or whatever, because Jason Tatum was the third pick, Jaylen Brown was the third pick the year before, and then Horford was the third pick back in the day. What was that, 2008 maybe?
Uh-huh.
Like, I guess that's true, but no one was saying that at the start of the season. Like, they're saying Boston was going to be good because of Hayward and Kyrie, not because they had three top three picks on their roster. Like,
right.
In Charlotte, the Charlotte Hornets have eight top 12 picks on their entire team. And nobody's saying, oh, look at all these lottery picks Charlotte has. They're going to be really good this year.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is people forget the Celtics didn't want Jaylen Brown. They were trying to trade back and out of that pick, but nobody wanted to trade into that pick. So they're like, well, we're going to take him because he's the best player available. But they didn't think that he was a good player to take at number three. And so he's been a huge surprise for them.
Well, that bugs me so much when, like, GMs just, like, draft someone, like, on accident and then, like, take the credit. Like, Jerry Jones missed on four different quarterbacks before he drafted Dak Prescott, and everybody's acting like, oh, this is the guy they always want. It's like, no, I didn't. They tried to draft Connor Cook. They tried to draft, like, two other people, and, like, they couldn't get the trades in. They tried to draft Paxton Lynch in that draft, and, like, Dak Prescott was, like, available, so they took him. And he's been great, but let's just not act like Jerry Jones had this genius plan to draft Dak Prescott and have him take over for Tony Romo.
Yeah, you don't draft quarterbacks in the fourth round that you plan on being your starter.
Yeah, so I just hate never to get credit, like, because a person worked out. It's like, it's good for them. Like, I love that Dennis Lindsay, like, we just thought Donovan Mitchell was good. We didn't think he'd be this good. Like, he's not, like, taking credit for, like, knowing how good Donovan Mitchell was, which I think is right, what we should do.
Yeah, like, I mean, and like, he knew that Donovan Mitchell was going to be very good. He traded up 11 spots to get him, and after that workout he told everybody in the media and that in the Jazz they'd be fired if they told anybody about Donovan's workout. But yeah, like you said, he didn't know he was going to be that good. And like, I'm sure, to Danny Ainge's credit, I'm sure he thought that, you know, Jaylen Brown was going to be an NBA player. There were a lot of other players he could have taken in that number three spot, so he thought he'd be an NBA player. He just didn't think that he was going to be this.
Yeah, one thing, just while we're talking about the draft, I want to talk about the lottery really quick, but do you remember last year? I just love this story. So Josh Jackson was in Sacramento. Last year he went fourth to the Phoenix Suns, but the Celtics at the time had the first pick. They eventually traded to the third pick. Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens were on a flight to Sacramento from Boston, so the other side of the country. On the flight, the agent texted him and said, he's not going to work out for you, don't come. So they literally just got right back on the plane and went home to Boston. So they flew like 12 hours or something for nothing. And I just love that story so much.
Yeah, that's so... Like, I'm not particularly fond of Danny Ainge, but like, you can't do that to a human being. Like, he's busy. He's got things to do.
The agent didn't want Josh Jackson to work out for him because they had like Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart. At the time, they had Avery Bradley, so they had a bunch of wings. So Josh Jackson's agent thought he would flourish more in Phoenix. But tell the dude before he gets on the flight. You know what I mean? Like, don't do it mid-flight. Like, that's just a jerk move.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure today, I mean, doesn't it seem like if you're Josh Jackson, you'd rather be on the Celtics than the Suns? Like, I know, I'm sure he plays more on the Suns, but, I mean, losing sucks. It's not fun.
Yeah, seriously. Really quick, I just want to talk about a minute because the draft lottery was this week, and then we'll call it. So the Suns got the number one pick, which was the – like, they were the favorites to do that. The Sacramento Kings were had the seventh best odds. They got the second pick, and then Atlanta also jumped to third. So Memphis and Dallas got screwed. And then right now the projected number one pick is DeAndre Ayton out of Arizona. The number two pick projected-wise is Luka Doncic, who plays for – Real Madrid, actually. He's from Slovenia. And as soon as the lottery came out, he's like, yeah, I might not go to the NBA. I might stay in Europe for a year, which to me is like, I do not want to play for the Kings.
Well, yeah, that's what he should do. You can't go play for the Kings. Like,
oh, that was so funny.
I will go to my grave saying that if Jimmer Fredette does not get drafted by the Kings, he is a good NBA player. Like, I think he's make an all-star game good NBA player if he doesn't get drafted by the Kings. Like, I'm not saying he'd be Steph Curry. I'm not saying he'd be Damian Lillard. But he is good enough on offense. And he's a smart enough basketball player where he could figure out how to be competent on defense. So, I mean, that just ruins... It's like the Cleveland Browns. Like, you get drafted by the Browns, you're not even good on teams you go to after that because you've just wasted those years of development.
Oh, I love draft stuff. I love NBA drama. I thought that was so funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the draft is, like, right after. The combine's going on right now. The draft is going to be right after the finals. So we'll talk more about that. We'll talk more about the World Cup coming up. Do you have any parting remarks before we go watch this Golden State-Houston game?
Stay in Spain, Luka. You can't do this to yourself. You've got to stay in Spain another year.
Luka is an avid listener of the show. So,
yes, I'm sure this is going to get to his ear. Does he speak English?
He actually does. So he speaks, obviously, Slovenian is his right. He speaks Spanish really well, like fluently, and he speaks English pretty well.
Okay, that's good.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, I figured he'd try to start learning it because he knew he'd want to come to the NBA, but...
I literally spend hours at work watching Luka Doncic's tape and, like, reading articles about him. I'm just fascinated by the guy. So I know more than I'd like to know about him, but I'm really excited for him to come to America. So I hope he decides to come and hope he gets drafted by Phoenix or something instead of Sacramento, but...
Yeah. Real quick, how do you feel about the Jazz potentially drafting a white dude who nobody'd heard of until the Final Four?
Oh, Dante? White Dante?
Yeah.
I mean, I've never heard of him until the Final. I don't see why we're not going to draft Jalen Brunson, who was the better player on the same team. But, I mean, it fit the personality of the Jazz to draft him, so.
Yeah. No, and that's something about the draft is that I don't understand. Is like, Carson Wentz. I don't even, on his, was it his senior year or his junior year where he split starts?
His senior year, I think, because he got hurt.
Right, yeah. So, like you're hurt, but you're not good enough to show that, you know, you can, like, you would think that the number two draft pick in the NFL would be good enough where he'd clearly be better than the other quarterback on North Dakota. But, I mean, clearly... Philadelphia made the right pick in picking him. That's not what I'm saying. It just surprises me how, or like Kyle Kuzma, who was like fine for Utah, like he was fine, but now he's probably the best rookie in the NBA, not named Donovan Mitchell. So I just don't understand these things. And like Dante came off the bench and now they're saying that he's going to be a better NBA player than Jalen Brunson, who, like you said, was a starter. Someone who knows more about basketball than I do needs to explain these things to me.
Yeah, not only was Brunson a starter, but he was like consensus All-American, consensus player of the year. It was like when Steph Curry won the unanimous MVP, that was like the season Jalen Brunson just had in college, but like didn't get much attention, obviously, because it's Villanova in college, but like Jalen Brunson was like by far the clear-cut best player in the entire country, and that obviously doesn't translate directly to the NBA, but, I mean, they were on the same team.
Yeah, is he a senior? Is that the problem with Brunson?
Well, yeah, but I thought Dante was a junior.
Let's... Okay... What is he? I guess he's 21. So, yeah, he's a junior or a sophomore, so...
Dante, why Dante?
Yeah. And, I mean, I love me some Philly guys, so I'm behind it, and I obviously, I'm going to trust everything Dennis Lindsay does, so...
Yeah, we'll see what happens. The Jazz have the 21st pick, so we'll actually have some stuff to talk about this summer. We got the NBA Draft, World Cup. We'll get some good stuff going on.
Yeah, it'll be a good time.
Yeah, so make sure to keep listening. Again, you can subscribe on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom. Also, check out our blog, mjdoubletake.blogspot.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at mjdoubletake. My personal handle is JacobCowden28. For both of those, Matt's Twitter is MattCowden24. Give us a follow, leave a comment, review. Again, you can email us at mjdoubletake@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you guys. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. We really appreciate all the support. We're trying to get Ashley Hatch and Elijah Bryant on the show on top of Luka Doncic. So if you see them, hit them up on Twitter or something. Tell them to come on. And Matt, anything to say?
Go Royals.
Go Royals. All right. Like royal wedding, right? Same thing. But David Beckham does. Well, on that note, everyone, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. We'll see you guys next week.